the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We got our friends from New Holland Brewing here, and this dragon's milk is starting to make me a little sleepy. But that's because the
wake up.
That's because the dragon put a little bit of extra in the in this juice. But anyway, it's cool to have you guys here. We've got Joel and Chef Dale from the Knickerbocker, which is the Grand Rapids location, but they have a big location out in Holland as well. Isn't that right, Bob?
That's right. So welcome back. Thanks for joining us. If you just tuned in, we're doing all things kind of Michigan today, and we picked New Holland because we kind of have gotten to be pretty blown away with this Knickerbocker facility in Grand Rapids, Michigan. But you'll find New Holland. You guys, I travel all over the country for my real job, and I'm seeing New Holland everywhere, and it makes me chuckle. Because I'm always perusing the racks, whether I'm in Denver or like I'm headed out to Sacramento at the end of the next week, Vancouver after that. I could be, you know, who knows where. I'm seeing, I mean, New Holland. I honestly had no clue you guys were getting the penetration in the marketplace that you're getting. And Joel, you're probably part of that reason, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're in about 33 states now with the beer, 20-some states with the spirits, starting to have great success as we go, you know, further afield, and still have a few big markets to pick up, but it's been a fun ride.
Joel, you mentioned something about Pabst earlier. Is that something that we can talk about?
Yes, it is. Yeah, it's public knowledge.
Been in the news.
Yes, so we signed a really exciting distribution agreement with Pabst. We did not sell. We remain 100% independently owned, so no equity.
Who didn't grow up with Pabst, okay?
Yeah.
Probably the first beer we all ever had.
Everybody, everybody.
I still enjoy a PBR, I'll be honest.
I do, too.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I mean, especially even within the craft brewing community, every brewer, when they're not drinking craft brew, is probably picking up a PBR.
Well, that's kind of, you know what PBR is? That's my maintenance beer. It is, because number one, I like it. Number two, my family's from the UP. That was big up there. That and old style.
Right.
And it's easy to drink.
So what's New Holland doing with Pabst in a nutshell?
Right. Pabst becomes our sales force and our representation out in the market to our wholesalers.
Oh, cool.
So we still control the brand. We still do all the brewing. You know, we run what the lineup is going to be. What new beers are we going to come out with? Pabst becomes our sales force. Obviously, they've got hundreds of salespeople in the market. I've got 10. Right. And so we get a lot stronger right then, and we're going to run through their wholesaler network. But as I said, it's really great because we stay 100% independent, and we get to leverage a real strong partner in the market.
Okay, let's talk about your beer, only because I see Hoptronics opened up here.
Yeah, we brought Hoptronics that we just released towards the end of last year, a double IPA, 9%, huge blast of mosaic hops you're going to get in that one. A really well-balanced double IPA, though, and has been getting rave reviews online and quickly become a favorite locally.
I didn't clean my palate with a cracker or anything, but it tastes really, really. That's an absolutely unique hoppy.
Yeah,
malty
profile that we get out of the mosaic hops has been really exciting to our brewers.
So for the listeners that don't know, an IPA versus a double IPA, what's the difference?
Sure, it's going to be a little bit higher on IBUs, international bitterness units, for the non-learned, and that just means it's going to be a little bit more bitter. But we New Holland always take an approach that we want balanced beers, so we balance that with a malt background. And it's also a double IPA versus an IPA, it's usually going to be a little bit higher ABV. So,
which basically means you're just doubling the grain input, isn't it?
Yes.
Not necessarily always the hop, but at least the grain. So you're driving up the sugars, thus creating
You're usually balancing that out with more hops as well.
You about have to, don't you?
Yes.
Interesting.
And so something like this, like Hoptronics, would that be a malt or a wheat or what?
It's a malt. Yes.
You can taste it. I mean, it's kind of got a sweetness to it. So, I don't know. What's the IBU?
That one is 75, I believe.
Not terribly high for a double, then.
Nope. And 9% ABV on that.
Oh, no.
7% on our standard IPA Mad Hatter.
Chef Dale, quick question for you.
Sure.
Are you using the beers that you're producing? Because you've got ones that are in distribution, but then you also have a house brewing system, if you will, and you can get beers there in-house at the restaurants that you only serve there. You don't package and sell. So I'm curious if you're using any of those in your recipes, and if so, explain a couple maybe.
Yeah, certainly. We use, when we do a lot of beer pairing dinners. So where when we put those dinners together, I like to draw upon what's at the property. So we have our pub brewer in Holland. His name is Steve Bertel, Bert. And fantastic guy. He's been doing it for when, you know, Moby Dick was a minnow is when he started. And so...
He said Dick.
Yeah, Moby Dick was a minnow when he started. So we feel it's something special that you can't have anywhere else. And John Bohr, who's our brewer at the Knickerbocker, does some really fantastic beers, and we're looking for that program really to grow. Basically, when I started, my background was in fine dining. And one of the partners had said to me, we were talking about a Toulouse sausage, and we always put wine in our Toulouse sausage. And we're sitting at the bar going over the recipe, and we're writing it on a napkin. And, you know, we're talking about, like, well, you know, I made some comment like, well, you know, I'd love to use some sort of wine, but our wine, you know, I'm not really a big fan of the wine we serve. And he looks at me like I'm crazy, and he says, Dale, beer pays your rent. So maybe whenever you have a recipe and you think about wine and you need a liquid, think beer. Right. So it goes into our barbecue sauce.
And it's probably actually even a better substitute if you think about it. I mean, just of all the multitude of ingredients that go into beer versus you've just got a grape with wine. You know, you've got a solitude there that.
I think once it's cooked, I think what happens with wine too, it can become very general. Where beer can have more character,
still keep complexity.
Yeah, I think it has a little more character where it's just not filling a role. I think when there's a few little guidelines, once you learn those, sometimes when you reduce and you do a lot of cooking, hoppy beers don't do well with that, but malty beers do.
Uh huh.
We've done things with the Dragon's Milk.
That's a great tip right there.
I would not cook with Hoptronics.
No.
It's just way too good to drink. It'd be a waste.
And when it cooks down, it gets
the Dragon's
bitter.
Milk. I'm serious. I'd like to try that.
Well, not that triple though. That's sacrilegious.
I understand. Yeah, just wanted to keep that in the liquid form in a nice
regular
clear
Dragon's
glass.
Milk.
Interesting. So your top seller at the restaurant, when people walk in there, you're gotta have. Maybe not your top seller, but in your opinion, you're creating the magic. What's the gotta have? If you come to your restaurant, what do you recommend?
Oh, on the menu, food-wise, certainly. Well, I think the chili cheese fries. We talked a little bit about it offline where we make the Coney sauce.
They're that big, huh?
They're great. I have them on the menu at both restaurants. I'm a little proud of it. It's kind of it's my take on being from the other side of the state, kind of a Detroit-style poutine. You know, we make our French fries.
Right. That's a great analogy, actually. I work in Canada a whole bunch. My company's from Canada. And I do those all the time. Of course, I'm stuck with it. That's all they have over there. I'm going to definitely try that. So tell us how you do that. Tell us how you make that.
Well, we have... you know, I guess it's a little secret, but I think we're in good company here for this, your show.
It's only on
the
radio.
Yeah, no,
ESPN.
And
it's no big deal.
People who are interested in this will be down with this. But we buy grass-fed beef and we buy pastured pork. All the beef and pork that we purchase at the restaurant is grown, raised, ethically treated in Michigan. We have a huge supply of beef hearts that we run through, and we grind that to make the Coney sauce.
Sure,
and then we
have
Michigan cheese curds and all of our potatoes. We hand cut every French fry in the restaurant. We buy 2,000 pounds of potatoes a week that we cut by hand into French fries.
I do not want to be your sous chef.
We have
Peel
people
taters,
for that,
boy. Yeah.
We have people for that, and so we basically it's the curds, the Coney sauce, and scallions on top. It's as simple as it gets. And I think it's just super delicious. And the way I try to coach the cooks up with it, I was like, I try to tell them, like, one person shouldn't be able to eat this unless they're really, really
good. If you just tuned in, you're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. And this is basically a New Holland show, Jop. I mean, well, our show plan is blown. These guys are just eating up every bit of airwave we have because they're
that
deep.
I don't think these guys have anything
to do
with
it. They're that deep. I mean, this thing is a mile deep.
No. You're missing it. It's the dragon that's eating everything up. It isn't it isn't these guys. But, fellas, we appreciate you guys coming in and spending some quality time with us.
To the point to where we want you to stick around for one more segment.
Right. We got one more segment. We got a little bit of man law, and we might talk a little bit about our Operation GI Barbecue update. You're listening to the Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.